Good morning. Welcome to Prayer Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Dorothy Krause. I'm right now just a member, which is kind of nice. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, which we'll have today, or by our, in the very near future, new minister. Today, Heidi will be presenting a topic on homelessness. Our chalice lighting today is going to be by Vera and Gordon Cunningham.
There's much suffering in the world, physical, material, mental. The suffering of some can be blamed on the greed of others. The material and physical suffering is suffering from hunger, from homelessness, from all kinds of diseases. But the greatest suffering is being lonely, feeling unloved, having no one. I have come more and more to realize that it is being unwanted that is the worst disease that any human being can ever experience. That was from Mother Teresa, 1910-1998.
Hi, I'm Heidi Wegleitner, and I'm really grateful for Dorothy inviting me to come talk with you all today about homelessness. It's something I care a lot about. I won't get into that too much now, but I just want to thank my friends, Sophia, Daniel, and Cindy, who have also joined me today, and we really appreciate you welcoming us into your community and caring about this issue.
Okay, so more on Heidi. She's an attorney at Legal Action of Wisconsin. For the past 6 years, she's been representing low-income tenants in eviction cases and subsidized housing disputes and organizing for housing justice as a member of the Affordable Housing Action Alliance. She serves on the board of the Public Interest Law Section of the State Board of Wisconsin, is on the steering committee of the Emerson East Neighborhood Association, is the Housing Task Force Chair of Progressive Dane and Co-Chair of United Legal Workers. Heidi was recently elected to represent District 2, Madison's North Isthmus, on the Dane County Board of Supervisors. She now serves on the Dane County Health and Human Needs Committee, Human Services Board, Equal Opportunities Commission, and the Long-Term Support Commission Committee. Heidi's first legislative initiative was to create a city-county homeless issues committee, which has now been established and has started to meet to address the unmet needs of the homeless in Dane County. And Heidi will introduce the folks that she brought along. So for now, let's welcome Heidi Wegleitner.
Well, thanks again, Dorothy, for the kind introduction, and to all of you, and I think your interest in this issue and the real-life experiences of folks in Dane County, as illustrated by that book that Dorothy read, is just so vital. We need to wake up more people to the struggle of homeless people in our community, of kids, of elderly folks, of really, the faces of homelessness are really diverse, and there's lots of unmet needs out here. So that's why I'm here today. We have homeless people who are falling through the cracks right now in our own community. And a lot of times, this is invisible to us going about our regular day. It's less invisible to me because of my day job as a housing attorney. Most of the folks I represent are not actually homeless, although I do represent some homeless people trying to get into housing, but they're on the brink. they're about to be homeless, they're facing eviction. Sometimes, you know, they're sleeping in their car. Actually, the day I announced my candidacy, I had previously met with a client that same day who her daughter and her were going to spend the night in their car with their dog, and it was bitter cold, end of November. And that's just, I mean, unfortunately there are many people in that situation. So why do we have this housing crisis going on in our midst? One of the reasons is that housing is really expensive. If you work a minimum wage job, if you're supporting yourself on, you know, SSI, low income disability program, you just simply do not make enough money to support a housing payment. You have to work 61 hours a week, 1.5 jobs, to get an efficiency studio. I mean, that's 153% of minimum wage is $11 an hour, and that's what you would need to be able to support a housing payment. Basically, you need to work multiple jobs just to support yourself. We do not have enough low-income housing in our community. The federal government funding for the Section 8 program, public housing, it's just plummeted in the past 30 years. I grew up in Section 8 project-based housing when I was young, from when I was a baby till about the first 5 years. And that's when these types of low-income subsidized projects were funded at about triple the rate they are now. And what did that housing stability provide to my parents? Well, my parents had a few things going for them already. They had, you know, two parents in the household, so there were, you know, two people, able-bodied people that could work to make ends meet. But it was the early 80s and they were struggling. There was a recession, they couldn't find jobs, they were substitute teaching. But because their rent was based on their income, they were able to provide a stable home for me, my younger brother. And eventually they did get jobs. They were able to finish their degrees, get an education, and able to save up enough money to move into, to buy their own home. And, you know, they had that support. They already had family support. They had education. They had so much more going for them than so many other people. But they still, having that government-supported housing was really essential to them being able to give us a stable home and move on and become economically mobile, really, move up the economic ladder. And so what we don't have that now. We have waiting lists that are years long to get into public housing. We have Section 8 Rent Assistance Program, the most popular government subsidized program where you take a voucher to a private landlord and HUD, the Federal Housing Department, subsidizes it. You pay 30% of your income. That waiting list for that program has been closed in the city of Madison and Dane County since 2007. There was a lottery, I think, a few years ago, a lottery to just get a spot on a waiting list. But so, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. There's just not housing. And then to pile onto that, you have a 2% vacancy rate in our rental housing market right now. Even though we have empty foreclosed homes that could be housing people, the rental market is extremely tight. So what do you have? You have, you know, 10, 15 people applying for every one unit. And it's a landlord's market. They get to be really, really picky. Last year we saw the rents go up 18% because of this incredibly tight market. You're seeing seniors who've lived in their housing for sometimes 10, 15 years have to reapply, go through additional application screening criteria, be charged additional deposits and things like this. So it's really a tough time. And the federal government does not seem to be investing more in this. We have Congress that's passing these really draconian cuts to human services programs. And so what are we going to do? And what we're seeing on the local level is, you know, people falling through the cracks. We're seeing people who can't even access shelter. You know, the most basic sort of protection from the elements. Extreme heat this winter, extreme cold, extreme heat this summer, extreme cold in the winter. And we have people who are running up against lifetime limits. If you're a family, annual limits If you're a single man, you have couples who can't stay in the shelter together because we don't have a couple's shelter. And we have, you know, we have families being turned away. We have people who have been banned from shelter. So if you're a guy trying to get into the men's shelter or access one of the men's shelter services, there's only one men's shelter provider. And if you get banned, that's it. There's no other option. There's no second chance shelter. So what does that say to people? The question was, why would someone get banned from shelter? And Dan indicated that it could be a behavioral problem, stealing. I mean, basically, if you do something wrong and that they don't like, and it most likely, hopefully it's something that's pretty serious, that could trigger your exclusion, essentially, from those services. There's no sort of independent process to make sure that's fair or not. So what happened? We saw people who just weren't, their needs weren't being met in our community. And last fall, we had a group that sort of was part of the Occupy movement, global Occupy movement for economic justice and accountability among our financial institutions. And there was this the protest that started and it moved around a few times. And then it really evolved into welcoming temporary living arrangement for homeless people. And so we saw people who all of a sudden were no longer invisible to us because they were part of a community that was right on East Washington trying to figure out a way, without hardly any government resources, they could provide mutual support to one another and find security within that community. And I'm really excited and grateful to have two members from Occupy who had experience with that community here today, Sophia and Daniel, and I want to invite them up at this time just to talk a little bit about their personal experience with Occupy and some of the work they've been trying to do since Occupy was evicted from the site on East Washington. And then I'll wrap up with some of our initiatives at the county government level. Sophia, do you want to?
Hi, my name is Sophia Martinez, and I am from Portugal originally. I've been in the States since 95. I ended in Occupied mostly because of my financial situation. I got divorced, and I used to own businesses, so things didn't work out to my favorite. So I rescued myself. I actually went to the shelter. And I got so afraid that of the situation over there that I ran back to Occupied. And at that time, it was February. It was awfully cold outside. You know, we had snow, you know, everywhere. But I felt so much more secure at Occupied than I did at the shelter system. Because when I got there, I barely had anything. They gave me a blanket. They gave me food, they gave me support when it came to feel you a little bit more, you know, self-motivated because you feel so beaten and down from the system nowadays. And with Occupied, what we tried to do was everybody was welcome as long as, you know, there are certain rules and that, you know, it needed to be, you know, established. But pretty much everybody was welcome in the Occupied. And we try to help each other. It was a system that, you know, some people would go to pantries to get food. Some people would bring clothing to the site. But we never got pretty much no help from the government whatsoever. It was pretty much individual people that help us out. And when the Occupied got dismantled, six of us kind of sticked with each other. And we went, now we're doing the campgrounds. And we stayed 14 days in the campgrounds, and then we have to leave for 2 days and then come back to the same campground. Well, this campground has grown from 6 people to 18 right now. And because the support is fantastic, we know, you know, we rely on each other. It's pretty much it, you know. We are relying on our friendship and what we can do for each other, as little as it can be, but at least it gives us self-esteem and some morale, you know? It helps us go to work and feel a little bit more human because a lot of the doors have been closed to us. And I mean, this problem is not going to go away, you know? And there's more and more people that are getting in this situation. And a lot of people ask, but why, you know, can you, do you work? And I'm like, yes, I work. Can you get an apartment? And I said, no, not really. I cannot afford an apartment right now. First of all, because of the rent, like Heidi was saying. Second of all, the landlords go to such a scrutiny to pick you up that by the time, you know, that you don't have no chance pretty much to get, you know, a decent apartment with a decent rent, because it's just not going to happen the days nowadays. So with the lake farm, what we're doing is pretty much everybody is welcome, you know, as long as you participate in what we're doing. It's make sure that there's order in camp, no disrespect towards other people, no stealing, you know, none of that type of stuff, and bring food and bring self-esteem and a hug, I mean, a blanket, whatever it's needed, a tent. So it's been quite the experience for me, to be honest with you, because the last persons I was that I thought I would rely on are the ones that have been backing me up, you know, and are the people that they don't have pretty much nothing to offer, you know, except love, support, and, you know, and camaraderie. And I think it's been fantastic, you know. It's been a fantastic experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, my name is Daniel Callahan, and I'm with Occupy. And I want to thank you for letting us come and speak to you. I've been with Occupy since about October of last year. I was over at the Don Miller site when we got evicted in that, and it was a community. We all pitched together, you know, did things for each other and helped ourselves. But since being out of there, like she says, we've been going from campsite to campsite, and we grew, and you know, we've got rules that we go by. A lot of them are working now. So everybody's trying to pitch in a little bit, you know, $2 a day, you know, to keep things going, and it seems to be working out. It's, you know, it's not like they can give it right away. Some got to wait till their paycheck and that, so. But that's working out. But the thing is, when they closed Occupy, it left a lot of homeless people out there. We accepted the homeless when people ran out of the shelter time and that, and it was winter. I couldn't see that. I was head of security over there with Terry and Tiny, and you know, we welcomed them. You know, we couldn't turn our backs on them. So, but when they dismantled it, people ended up going all over Madison, parks, park benches, up on the Capitol, nowhere to go. So that's when we decided it's time to open up Occupy again for people. We know where we made the mistakes before, and we're not about to make the same ones. But the main thing is, we're gonna make changes. That's why we got this committee now for the homeless, and that's why I'm still around with you. See something better happen. We have a weekly meeting with everybody in the community, you know, everybody that's in general assemblies, and we discuss issues, everything that needs to be done, you know. My experience with the shelters, I've been homeless for about a year and a half, off and on, and that. And Porchlight runs the shelter, and their staff that runs it needs to be more lenient, a little more, they're helpful. You know, they don't really care, and all they do is, it's very disrespectful in the way they treat people. I mean, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you should be treated disrespectfully. You know, and these people, Porchlight, we've had problems with because of the fact that there's a lot of red tape. I mean, they want to help people, but to going around the process, it's just a hassle. It's a lot A lot of red tape.
Thank you, Dan.
Yep.
So, as Dan mentioned, and Dorothy, what followed after the Occupy eviction was the county decided to create a committee to look at all these issues that Occupy brought to the front page of our papers. All the challenges with the shelter system, all the people falling through the cracks, and you know, where, as Occupy identified, there are these gaps. So we decided, well, we need some people to work on this, and we need a good group of folks from a wide variety of experiences to get together to address some of these unmet needs. There are some that are rather urgent, and there are all sorts of solutions and strategies that we need to consider, because homelessness is a problem that affects people in different ways. And like I said before, there are many different faces of homelessness. So we created a city-county homeless issues committee, and Sophia and Dan have both been appointed by the county executive to serve on that committee with me, as well as three other county board supervisors, two City of Madison alder people, the chief of police in Madison, and then one other person who has experienced homelessness, and three people who are shelter providers or homeless services providers. So what we're trying to do is put some heads together to figure out what can we do about this. These are really basic life-sustaining sort of daily needs that aren't being met, and I think it's really interesting when you think about what it would be like to essentially criminalize someone's existence. And I think that's what has happened in a lot of ways. Within the city of Madison, there is no place that's zoned for camping. And in fact, you can be ticketed in a park, in a public space, if you have a blanket with you. And you can be ticketed if you don't have a place to go to the bathroom and the public restrooms are closed and you need to go. There's all sorts of ways which people need just to take care of basic things that we take for granted as housed people, as people that have access to shelter, to clean water, to hot water, to cold water, and to bathrooms and a place to cook food and stuff like that. So what I would like to see us do with the City County Homeless Issues Committee is not only think about, you know, the long-term permanent solutions, which is creation of more housing that's affordable to very low-income people and low-income families, that doesn't have extremely rigid screening criteria, that is going to screen out anyone who's poor because they don't have good credit. Go figure. It's also dealing with these immediate needs and looking and examining our policies for to think about. You know, for instance, Dan and Sophia talked about the people camping right now in county campgrounds. So, you know, campgrounds are intended for recreational use. Our parks intended for recreational use. But when all other spaces are, if you're excluded from all other spaces, I mean, really, the campground, the Dane County Campground, has been the only place where homeless folks can lawfully exist, where they can get a shower, where they can get bathroom, where they can charge their phone, where they can have community. And I think we need to examine all these policies that are originally well-intentioned and well-reasoned, but when you apply them to homeless people who are actually using the space to carry out their everyday needs, it becomes onerous to make someone move all the way across town to a different campground because you have a 14-day limit on a stay in that particular site. Especially when that group's now 18 people, you're talking about transportation, you're talking about loading up all the coolers that have all the food in them, all the ice. There's all these sort of little ways, like little pieces of red tape, like Dan was saying, that can make their life unnecessarily difficult. So we want to look at, can we relax some of these rules to make it easier for folks to just exist? Is there an alternative site for Occupy? We're not hearing about all this new money coming to create affordable housing or to create a new, additional transitional housing. So what are we going to do? Are we going to let people fall through the cracks, or are we going to find another site where they can continue to experiment with this idea of collective, you know, temporary living arrangements? And I think the quote from Mother Teresa today is really gets to the heart of what the Occupy folks have brought to this discussion, which is, you know, we are people, and this community has given us so much more than just the sort of material gain of food and shelter and security, but it's that that dignity and that self-esteem that Sophia was talking about, the idea that, you know, you bring something of value to this discussion, and that's why we're going to talk together until we can find a solution that works for all of us. And so one of the things that this new this resolution that Dorothy and I helped pass was to create the City County Homeless Issues Committee, but also to have Madison Area Urban Ministries complete a report about the unmet needs since Occupy closed, and whether or not there are sites in our community where we could try this sort of temporary living arrangement again. Because what you'll see is what happened there, sure there were problems, but you didn't have a lot of public investment, but you had all these different community people coming together with their own unique skills, their own unique, you know, passion, their ability to construct a hoop house, you know, bring food over, give people rides to jobs, employment opportunities, that kind of thing. And it's really amazing. We're incredibly creative and resilient, and we want to come together and work together, but sometimes it's almost rendered impossible because of our lack of imagination and the lack of political will to allow that creative space to exist, to allow people to be together and figure out their own solutions, to find that self-determination to you know, move up in their world, to find some stability. So that's what Mom was able to give us, this great report of all these different sites within our community. And one of the things that we are looking at to see if faith communities might want to help with is car camping space. You know, we heard a story earlier about people sleeping in their cars. There's families that are doing that all over. And that can be a scary, unsafe, you know, thing for people. And it also can be really difficult if you don't have an open restroom or a porta potty nearby or running water and that kind of thing. So those car camping space is one of the things that Mom identified. Mom also identified the need to have access to showers and restrooms and a centrally located day center where people can go just to rest if they work third shift, just to charge their phone, to get help, you know, setting up the voicemail on their phone, to access the computer, email, have a post office box or mailbox. Apply for benefits like food share or subsidized housing. Get on one of those really long wait lists. But we need a place like that. Right now there is not a place like that downtown accessible to people, accessible to everyone, to be able to just go to sort of figure out how to deal with the daily challenges of being homeless. So one thing that the county is interested in doing is helping support a day center. There was an article about it in the paper this morning, and the question is, you know, where's the funding going to come from to operate it long term? It's clearly this identified need, but we need to be able to, someone needs to be able to find money to keep it going. The operating expenses are always more challenging than the capital, the building purchase expenses. So those are some of the things we're looking at right now. The day center, examining how our policies criminalize homelessness and make it unnecessarily difficult for people to use campgrounds and other public spaces. And we're looking to see if there are existing public and private spaces that can help us fill in some of these gaps that, you know, are really apparent and are going to require real long-term solutions, but in the interim, we need to deal with these emergency needs right now. People need a place to go to the bathroom, they need a shower, they need a place to escape from the heat and the rain and stuff like that. So I just wanted to give you an idea about where we're headed today. This is going to be a long struggle, but certainly it's really important that people know that you know, you care about the homeless in our community, and that, you know, we should not, in this, you know, relatively affluent county that we live in, we're really having a human rights crisis when it comes to not having housing for our people. People not having access to restrooms, water, shower, these kinds of things. So thanks again for your interest in this topic, and I think we have time for a few more questions. Well, I would invite you to our first meeting. Is that the appointments have been made, but I'll keep you posted if there are vacancies. But our first meeting is this Tuesday at 5 p.m. in room 351 of the City County Building, and we'll be talking about the Homeless Day Center and some of these other issues that relate to shower access, restrooms, the campgrounds. So I think that's an interesting question and a good point, and I think we're going to have some of these discussions in this new committee. I think that one of the things that we need to realize, and maybe that's not as recognized in the homeless services provider network at this point in time, is that one solution doesn't work for everyone, and that people should have some choice, some agency, some self-determination about how they're going to lift themselves up out of homelessness, help survive, help survive on the streets, or be a part of the community. I think there are a lot of challenges with providing shelter to folks that have, some folks, have more challenges than others. You have people with serious untreated mental illness, you have addiction problems, and you have situations that can be very stressful, very intense, and you have a lot of responsibility for caring for these folks. So I think sometimes there are different personalities at play, but you have maybe some I don't know what the right word, but hardened or maybe a little bit more rigid attitude about the administration of certain services, because it can be very taxing. The situations can be really intense, and we're talking about security for a lot of people. So I would love to see more sort of democratic organization, more homeless input into how the shelters are organized and run, but I don't know that that's any easy thing, as I think I heard someone say over here. So I think until that time, can we give people another option, another choice, especially considering some people just get kicked out with nowhere else to go. So I'd like to see, maybe future funding of shelters, maybe we prioritize that funding to programs that give more input to the people who are being served. Additional reaction to that comment is, I think sometimes because the way social services and homeless services are funded through the federal government, this is passed through the county at the local level or the city, people are worried about numbers and how many people they are served, and people are I think sometimes, unfortunately, and not intentionally necessarily, treated as a bundle of needs instead of a human being, with agency and some, empathy and stuff like that. So instead you have some bundle of needs that needs to go five different places all over town to get this need met and this need met and that need met. Instead, what we would like to see more of is sort of a holistic serving and more of a mutual learning process, I guess. For both the provider and the person being served within the homeless services network. So I'd love to see us evolve to more participation. And I think, having homeless people who have experienced homelessness on this committee will give a voice to that process. Good questions. I'll try to answer in 2 minutes. Porchlight is, all of our homeless services in Dane County are purchased, so they're one of the nonprofit providers of homeless services, the only shelter provider for men. So I think we may have to look, if we're going to operate a day center, for other sources, through general tax levy dollars, I think, because there just aren't enough right now. So in terms of housing in rural areas, And this, I think, also relates to your first question. I believe housing is a right. And Dane County and the City of Madison have recognized housing as a right. And we, one of the things that the Housing is a Right resolution says is that we need to figure out a plan for meeting the housing needs, whether it's accessible housing, affordable housing, culturally adequate housing, in each community of Dane County. You shouldn't have to move somewhere because there's no affordable housing where you are or where you grew up or where your family or where your job is. So one of the things about the Housing is the Right resolution is to create a housing plan to meet the housing needs in every community. We don't have good data on what the needs are right now. We don't have good data on what our housing stock is. So we're going to be trying to realize the human right to housing for folks by starting to plan for it, figuring out how we're going to meet these needs, create more housing in each community. I think having public transportation that obviously connects people to the other services that they depend upon and the other opportunities is really vital to making, you know, rural housing make sense for most folks. So I guess that's my answer to your question, but I'm really excited about the benchmark set forth in our Housing is the Right resolution. We're trying to reduce the number of homeless kids by 50% by September 1st, 2015. Create an additional 100 single-room occupancy units for people who support themselves on W-2 or SSI. So really trying to hit some concrete benchmarks to move this forward and make this more than just a declaration on paper. When we passed that resolution earlier in the summer, it was funny because one of the persons testifying said, well, you know, since this is part of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we signed in 1949 or whatever it was, welcome to the mid-20th century, Dade County. So, I mean, I think that's what we're talking about here is really simple. But if you don't have a place to put your head at night, how are you going to figure out how to find a job or get connected or stabilized or be a part of your community? So, thank you.
Our closing words today by Dennis Kucinich. We have weapons of mass destruction we have to address here at home. Poverty is a weapon of mass destruction. Homelessness is a weapon of mass destruction. And unemployment is a weapon of mass destruction. Heidi will stay after to visit with folks for a little while.